A new year brings new games. And brother, it's looking like a hell of a year. Mary Jane and I are gonna have a hell of a time. We discuss what we're most stoked for and more on episode 278 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined online by Jacob Alka.
Garrett Drake.
And,
hey.
It's good to be with you, Jacob. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're a bit late to the party, but, you know, Happy New Year. It's good to see you again. Good to be back. It's been a minute, but we are still alive as always.
And
ready to talk about all the games we're most excited for this year.
Yes.
So, what's going on in your life, Jacob? How you been?
I've been good. Just been working. It's the new year, so work is very busy right now. So everyone's ordering their food. Excuse me, my dog's barking. Or not my dog, but my roommate's dog. So this is a common theme now. Every time I make noise in my room and there's no one else home, she will just start barking sometimes.
I get that.
Now I usually have to go out there and stop her. But we'll see if she stops.
That's right.
I'll be right back.
So how's life, Jacob? How are you feeling about this year going into it?
I hope it's going to be a good year. Be the first year where, you know, I'm completely independent. It's still just into the city. Everything's still very new, still discovering new places. But at the same time, work is very busy right now. So my time is certainly limited outside of like the evenings and stuff. So just trying to take every day one day at a time and, you know, just keeping my sanity when I can.
Aren't we all? Do you have any particular goals for this year? I'm not really a big resolution guy personally,
but I do have
goals that I have in mind for each year. And I'm thankful to say I met my goals in 2022. So I'd like to continue that trend into this year. So you said you don't really have any goals for this year?
Not really. I have like
just survive.
Couple goals. definitely need to find a way to increase my capital a little bit. Probably going to look back into, you know, exploring new jobs and stuff because I need a little more money. But yeah, just stuff like that.
A lot of film work in this town.
Yeah, I could jump back into that.
That's been a while. You wanted to work on sets for 12 to 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, though.
Yeah, that sounds
You'd make great money, but it's an exhausting lifestyle, to say the least.
Yeah. And you have firsthand experience.
Only a little, though. I knew that world wasn't for me pretty early on because, not to go on a huge tangent, but I love what I do, but I like to have a life as well in addition to that. And the style of work I do in that world enables me to have a life in addition to doing what I love. So I could definitely hop on some sets if I wanted to, but it's a whole different kind of lifestyle I'm just not down for. So mad respect to people who do that, though, because it is pretty hardcore, but they do awesome things.
Yeah, my cousin does that now, actually.
Nice. In Atlanta or is it somewhere else?
She's all over the place. She's done some stuff in the city, done some stuff in like Decatur. She's been down at like, where's that place? I think it might be in, where is it?
Like Fayetteville? Where Trilla Studios
is? There's like a place in Fayetteville that's her big place. I forgot what it's called. She's all over the place. She does some work for some churches and stuff. So.
Cool.
But yeah. Just no huge goals, really. I'd like to, you know, get back to where I'm a little stronger in the gym. I feel like I've lost a little progress, but, you know, just I'll get back there. I've never had issues.
Are you allowed to have a guest at your gym at least once?
Had the higher tier membership, I would be able to.
Okay, so you don't
but
have that tier.
I don't, no. What about
you?
You
and I need to work out together at least once. It's been, like you said, well over a decade at this point.
Come join my gym.
Actually, it's been this year it's been a decade.
Is it really?
Yeah, and in March it'll have been 10 years since we last worked out together.
My God. Let's change that ASAP.
I would love that.
Do you go to a gym or are you still just at your apartment?
Still just inside my apartment and at the apartment gym I have. So it has everything I need. So I don't necessarily need a gym. But it is nice to work out with a buddy from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I could just come over there and work out.
I'm down for that. Yeah. Plenty of amenities. It's got your machines if you want them. Not many, but better than nothing.
Or maybe you should come over to our gym. It's got a few things.
It's probably better than mine, I can assure you. Well, how was your Christmas before we jump into the rest of this year?
My Christmas was very good. But outside of like the traveling was kind of rough.
Drove all the way. It's Indiana, correct?
Illinois.
Illinois. I always want to say Illinois or Indiana. I can never remember.
I was born in Indiana. My family lives in Illinois.
That's why I'm confused. Okay.
It's very complicated. I know. So drove up. So I drove up basically when the weather was getting bad. So it probably snowed like the day before. So on a Thursday. So 3 days before Christmas. And 2 days before Christmas, I drove up. And it was fine probably all the way up until like Kentucky. Then once you get to Kentucky, like you see snow pretty much everywhere. There's a whole, like the left lane is cut off in the highway. Like you can't be on the left lane unless you got really good tires. So, you know, obviously you're driving slower. There's a long line of cars because everyone's backed up. So it turned what would usually be a 7 hour drive into like maybe an 8.5 hour drive. So it wasn't absolutely terrible. Like I didn't slide or anything. I was very careful and I got there safely. There was tons of snow. Like there was like a foot of snow, which is a lot to me. It's not that much, I guess. But all things considered, like me being in the South, like I'd never see a foot of snow. So and it stayed like below freezing the whole time I was there. Like it was, I think the night that I got there on Friday night, it was like -6. Like it was so cold. That's really cold to me. But Christmas Eve was good. Like Christmas Eve is like when my grandma and like my relatives like to gather and do Christmas. And then like my immediate family, like my mom and dad and my brother, we all do Christmas like on Christmas Day. So kind of had like two little Christmas events, which was fun. We had some good food. Got to catch up with relatives I never see. So it was fun in that way. But like I said, I had some good food. And then I stayed there till Monday and then I drove back. Well, how about you, man? How was your holiday?
It was good. Nothing to report on. Just spend time with family. What games have you been playing?
What games have I been playing? I've been playing one game and you'll never guess what it is.
I can only imagine, Jacob. I'm sure it's a game you have minimal experience with.
Yeah, it's something I actually picked up like yesterday. It's a game called WoW. Like WoW.
Oh, this is that MMO?
I think. It's more of like a one game, like it's like 10 games stuffed into one game actually. So you never really need to play any other game.
Like, gotcha. You got all your games in one game. I hear that a lot from people that just started playing this yesterday as well.
Yeah. No, I'm playing tons of Warcraft. I don't have a whole lot of time to play a whole lot of games, especially right now with my busy work life. So, but I'm really enjoying WoW. I'm back into the usual grind of, you know, really trying to gear up my rogue. I'm doing like high level mythic plus keys, doing raids every week with my new guild. I joined a new guild, by the way. I hopped servers for the first time ever with like five friends of mine on in-game. And we all joined a new guild and we're progressing much better in terms of like how fast we're progressing bosses and we're just playing with better people. So it just feels better. My old guild was kind of like just teetering off in terms of like people not playing as much as they used to. It's just like they don't care as much or they don't have like the same goals as some of the rest of us. So we just thought it was a good time to move on. So we did. And it's always challenging because like I had built friendships up and some of those people were upset that I wanted to go somewhere else. And, you know, it's always weird in those situations because you want to stay friends with people, but sometimes they get their feelings hurt. So, but I've been having a lot of fun in the game. Dragonflight's been a great expansion. Lots of stuff to do. Yeah, it's just a good time in every regard. I've been enjoying it a lot.
I've been seeing that a lot from a lot of WoW fans. So not surprised to hear it.
It's glad a good time. Enjoying it. It's a good time to be a WoW fan.
So that's all you've been playing?
That's all I've been playing, man.
Nice. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. I know you've been playing a lot more, though.
Not a lot more. Recently, it's only been two games, more Warzone with the boys. And we win a couple times a week at this point, which is nice. So definitely have some frustrating moments. It's been funny. The last two wins we've had have been good wins, but we'll go through about 2.5 hours of pure agony. And then the last match of the night we play, we end up winning. That happened two nights in a row. So it's that classic thing. We're like, oh, this game's so stupid. And like, they need to fix this. And like, the game genuinely does have some issues they need to fix, mostly technical ones. And that's very frustrating because that's not always the reason we lose. But I'd say about 60% of the time we'll lose because it's like a technical problem with the game. But apart from that, we'll get that win and like that. You get that buzz again of like, oh, yeah, that was thrilling and adrenaline inducing and rewarding. And one minor concern I have is that for the first 11 wins, we were receiving stickers for our weapons to throw on our stickers that show like how many times you've won in Roman numerals. Mm-hmm. And once I passed 11, I stopped getting stickers. I was like, where's my damn sticker? What am I even doing this for? Because it's fun to have your custom loadout, like rocking your wins on your gun. It's just cool.
Yeah.
And they'd stop doing that. I don't know if it's a bug all of a sudden or if it really just stopped after 11, but I'll have to just go in and check and see what the deal is. But I want some sort of recognition for my wins because the barracks aren't even in the game yet. So you can't even, I mean, we can mentally keep track of how many games we've won, but you can't see that in game at the moment. So I want some sort of cosmetic reward for winning every match. But I kind of understand. I was thinking about this morning because imagine people that win like a dozen times a week and they have like hundreds of wins already. You can't realistically give someone like 500 stickers for their weapon. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they'll do about that. But for a while, it was rewarding to know like every time you get a win, it's like, all right, boys, let's update our stickers. We'll go on all of our custom loadouts and update the stickers. So that's a very, very fun game. I think it's a great evolution. I personally think most of it is a great evolution from Warzone 1. I like all the changes they made. I'm not a huge fan of the Gulag. I don't hate it. I see like the intention behind it. And there are moments it's very cool, but it's mostly frustrating for a variety of reasons I won't get into. But overall, having a really great time with that with the boys. But in addition to that, the only other game I've been playing on the side is Death Stranding. It had been on my backlog all year. I think it came out in 2020 or was it 20? It was 2021, wasn't it? Death Stranding. Pretty sure it was.
Figure that out. But while you talk.
It was perfect timing for me. I'd kind of heard people say this when the game first launched. They felt like it just wasn't the right timing for them to enjoy it. Because for me, it's mostly been a relaxing, cathartic experience. I can't really say there's been a single moment where I've been like, wow, that was really fun at all while playing it. But there have been moments I've really enjoyed because of how cathartic and sort of strangely rewarding it is to complete objectives in that game. And it was the perfect timing because going into Christmas, I was in a, I wouldn't say like sad or somber mood, but I was in a laid back, quiet, peaceful mood as we finished out the year. And I think it's because mentally my brain was kind of unwiring for the last week because a couple of big jobs we had planned were moved into the next year. So I could kind of just turn that like productive side of my brain off for a couple of weeks. So because of that, I was very much in a mood to play something that felt cathartic, like I described. So I didn't want to risk dropping $70 on it and not enjoy it at all. Because I did have that fear because I heard a lot of people trash it. I heard some people praise it. I heard a lot of middle of the road opinions. So I had no idea what to expect. And so I didn't want to risk buying it on PS5. But fast forwarding to now where I've played about 75% of the game, I wouldn't say I'm close to the end, but I'm nearing that point. I've really enjoyed it for the most part, but I've been playing on Game Pass on PC. So it's kind of funny the way I've been playing it. At this point, I wish I could have just relaxed on my couch and enjoyed it on a bigger display. But in spite of that, it runs great on my PC, looks really good, and I've liked it. What I do like about it is just there's something satisfying about receiving an order in the game. Like, okay, here's Sam Porter Bridges is Norman Reedus's character is like, here's your order of goods. You need to get it from point A to point B. And here's all the variables you may encounter along the way. There'll be like the mules that are like the pirates that'll try to steal your packages. There are these things called BTs that are the spooky invisible monsters that'll try to attack you. And this big crazy thing will happen if they catch you. And you can get to from point A to point B however you choose to get there. You can choose your items you think you may need to like cross ravines or climb or ascend or descend mountains. You can choose to take a vehicle if there's roads or like a certain pathway that'll help you out. So each order is a little bit different. Some are like silly, some are really important, some have time factors to them. So it's fun to gear out your character and just choose like what weapons you want to bring, what things can assist you in getting your packages where you need to go. And then just either walking all the way there or driving or climbing a mountain, whatever it may be, there's just something really satisfying about the beauty of the open world and you deciding how you're going to get there and then pulling that off and getting like a ranking for that and rewards. I think the best thing about it too is that I haven't been doing too many side missions. The one side mission I wanted to do is it wanted me to deliver a pizza to this guy. And I thought that was just kind of fun to like deliver a pizza in a post-apocalyptic world. So I did that. And I think he gave me a pair of sunglasses for that, which is pretty cool. But what's really satisfying about it is that it kind of reminds me of what I liked about Callisto Protocol. Two very different games, but they're both paced very well in that as you're progressing through missions, you're getting rewarded items that improve your delivery process and improve your character on an individual level. That makes it very satisfying to know, like, you constantly feel like you're progressing and earning things that make it a better gameplay experience. And it's funny because obviously it's a Kojima game, so it has all these interesting quirks and just like really wacky stuff that you just would never see anywhere else that make it all the more enjoyable to play. So I don't want to go into too many details because there's a lot in there, but overall, I've surprisingly really enjoyed my time with it. Haven't really had a ton of fun with it, but it has been a rewarding, interesting experience. And I'm very glad at the end of the day that someone funded this game to be made, because otherwise it wouldn't exist anywhere else. So that being said, I'm confident I'll enjoy the rest of the game and will, of course, inevitably play the sequel. But my big thing now is that I want to go straight back to Metal Gear Solid after I complete Death Stranding, because I've had every intention to play through at least the mainline Metal Gear games for a long time, and I'm very close to the end of Metal Gear Solid, and I've been dying to play Metal Gear Solid 2 in particular for a long time. So I think, obviously, we're about to talk about all the huge games coming out this year. Some of them are imminent, so I'll have some distractions along the way, but throughout this year in between the big releases, it's my goal to work through these older Kojima games. So... But yeah, Death Stranding, man, is a solid game. Very strange, and from my taste, too many cutscenes. The cutscenes are too long, but they're not wasted necessarily. I get that that's Kojima's thing, and he loves storytelling. He likes film, so it works. It's just that's like my least favorite part of the game, where some of the cutscenes are really lengthy and throw off the pacing a bit. But that's a to each their own situation. So Death Stranding, man, I do recommend it as well. What little I shared about my experience even interests you, it's on Game Pass. If you got it, it's worth checking out.
So less cutscenes, more walking sim.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So there have been some interesting moments, though, where, for example, when I first started the game, I didn't fully understand how to deal with the pirates that are called mules. Mm-hmm. And they straight up attacked me and stole some of my packages. Like, dang it, dude. And they took it to their camp. And there's no cutscene. It's like all real time. They stole my packages, got away, and took it to their camp, put it in a locker. So I had to stealth my way into their camp and steal it back and then run for my life out of there. But it's cool because as you progress, that your company gives you more weapons to deal with these guys and means of dealing with them. So whether you want to be more stealthy or be action-packed, it's pretty cool on how you can use all these items they give you to succeed.
Yeah.
So some cool stuff in there. But yeah, that's all I really have to say on Death Stranding for now, but I'm probably going to play some more tonight, actually, so I look forward to it.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, dude. Well, we can get into 2023, beginning with Riff Ryder's question, and he says, I think you guys should do a year in review for Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, and maybe talk about some games you really like that you played this year, but that didn't necessarily come out this year. Looking forward to the episode. Riff, thanks for writing in. And obviously we're not necessarily like a really analytical podcast, so we won't do a huge in-depth review of Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, but we can give our general thoughts on how we felt it went for them in 2022 and talk about maybe a couple of games we enjoyed from last year, and then we'll move into all the juicy stuff for 2023. Let's talk about Sony first, Jacob. How'd you feel about Sony's performance in the year 2022?
Well, you might have to help remind me, do they have just Horizon?
They had Horizon and God of War were the two big ones.
Right.
They announced PSVR 2, which is right around the corner. They also, what else did they? Oh, the PS, well, this is all technically 2023 stuff now, but their accessibility controller was announced. It looks pretty incredible. And also PSVR 2 is coming. And then what's the other one that was pretty big? Oh, yeah, PS5s are officially like highly available in stores now, which is great.
Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, so I guess Horizon and both God of War, I think, generally did pretty good sales-wise. Definitely God of War. Definitely.
Yeah, the only sales news I hear about PlayStation is through the Sacred Symbols podcast. And according to the data they have, Horizon and God of War sold very are continuing to sell very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Me personally, I didn't play Horizon. I didn't have a lot of interest in it. But it's definitely one of those games where, you know, if I ever get off this WoW hook, I very much see myself like jumping into Horizon, like a nice story, a nice narrative game. It's a world that I would like to go revisit again. And I've heard, you know, you weren't necessarily very high on it, but I've heard other people have really good things to say about it. You know, and it has its problems. Even those people say it has some issues, but it's definitely one of those games that, you know, I'm going to play eventually. And God of War Ragnarok, I've been very high on it. Some people, not so much, but I think it's a nice capstone on that two game series. And I think it's very much worth your time. And just taking those two games without any of the other news about Sony, I think it's a very good year if you're Sony. Just those two games are big, high budget games. They both sold really well, from according to you. And of course they sold well. They're Horizon and they're God of War. Like, of course they sold well. And I think they probably had the best year out of all the big dogs, big publishers. So, yeah. What do you think?
I agree. Out of the Sony games I played that I can remember, I think did Returnal come out in 2022 as well?
I'm unsure.
Let me see. It did. Yeah. It was 2021. Man, I can't believe like how quickly time's going by. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I didn't finish Horizon. I'd like to think one day I will, but I'm scared now because so many great games are coming out, even within the first few months of this year, that I know are going to really captivate me and have my attention. So I can't say when I'm going to get back to Horizon, because it's some weird problem I have when I'd rather play Death Stranding than play Horizon. Yeah. Maybe it's because Death Stranding is so unlike anything else I've played, and Horizon sequel is, it's a much better game than the first game, but it isn't night and day difference from the first one. So I think that's why I've been more interested in playing other things, but yeah. I'd like to think I'll finish it one day. So it'll be a great year for Sony. Microsoft, on the other hand, and we're not trashing the footstool because we're hashtag not fanboys, but Microsoft did have a rough year. You think about how poorly Halo's been handled. Halo's very slowly bouncing back, but it's still struggling. 343 in particular, and all of Microsoft's third-party studios have not released any exclusives for a while. Now, there's a lot coming this year that looks great that I'm very genuinely excited for, but we're still waiting for definitive release dates on a lot of those. And also, obviously, their deal with Activision is very much struggling right now. So they had a rough year, to say the least, but there's a lot of promising stuff in development with Microsoft that I'm very much looking forward to. I think the obvious ones, at least for me in particular, are Starfield, of course, and Redfall from Arkane.
Yeah.
So I know there's a lot more than that. I know we're still waiting to hear about Fable. I know Hellblade 2 is a thing, and I know there's several others I'm overlooking right now, but a lot of promise from Microsoft. So I'm hoping that the games I'm personally looking forward to deliver, I'm sure they will in a lot of ways, and everything else they have cooking at the moment will be good. But yeah, 2022 was definitely a rough one for Microsoft, I think.
Yeah.
You have anything else? Any other thoughts on that?
No, I can't remember the last time I was interested in a Microsoft game. It's been a long time. So yeah. I hope this year will be much better for them in terms of my interest.
Same. Nintendo is seemingly just doing well as always, because they've been unchanging, unwavering in their ways in which they sell games and promote games again on new platforms. And as we know, Tears of the Kingdom is coming this year, and that's extremely exciting. So from what I understand, Nintendo's just fine. I don't really keep up on Nintendo news as much, but I know their games sell just gangbusters every time a game comes out. Particularly a Zelda title, of course. Mario and Pokemon always sell extremely well.
Yeah. So. The newest Pokemon game has received so much criticism. It looks so bad. It runs so bad. The Switch is just a sorry excuse for a platform, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it's not cool and that it's not useful. in a multitude of situations.
Yeah, can you just imagine, dude? That's the thing. It's like, it's, we just, I totally understand from a business perspective because they make so much money and it continues to sell so well. They just have no good reason to make any changes for the time being. They eventually will, of course, but they just don't have a good reason right now. I know we like to think, imagine if a new version of the Switch had the power of the Steam Deck or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially when you consider how well the new Pokemon even sold. Like, I don't have numbers, but everyone still bought that game and played it. Like,
yeah,
they complained about it, but they still bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people. Like, it's a very good game. Like, if you can, you know, put those problems to the side, it's still, like, it might be one of the best Pokemon games, like, just out of enjoyment. Like, it's very, very fun. It's very fun to explore the wide open areas. I mean, they don't look nice, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. But all the Pokemon look nice. The Pokemon always look good. So at least that's something. But it's always cool to like go to a new area and, you know, you're exploring, seeing what new Pokemon you can find. It's very fun for like a collector trying to fill out your Pokedex. Lots of trainers everywhere. There's a couple different biomes, but yeah, that might have been the only Nintendo game that I played this year.
I played some old Nintendo games while I was on the road for a bit.
Yeah.
I guess I just played Super Mario Galaxy, the first one.
That's right, yeah.
I played about 60% of that game and really, really enjoyed it, but probably won't go back to that for a while either.
Yeah, let me whip out
my
Switch.
I think it's safe to assume Tears of the Kingdom will run and look very similar to Breath of the Wild, because you got to think there's only so much they can do with the hardware, so we can't anticipate a significant upgrade from performance or visuals. I still think Breath of the Wild is a beautiful game, but you can only fathom what like a truly next-gen Zelda game could be like if the Switch had enough power. So it's kind of a bummer, but I still very much look forward to it. That's easily one of my most anticipated of 2023.
Yeah, I completely forgot that Arceus also came out this year. It was like January.
I didn't realize it was the same year. That's pretty wild.
Or it was last year, I guess. But yeah, like, yeah, Pokemon had a huge year. So that they definitely did gangbusters. But yeah, those are the only two games. I mean, I played Fire Emblem Three Houses again while I was in Florida, but I only played it for like a week. So I got my Switch right here beside my PC, so I can just whip it out anytime I need it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really think of anything else to say for these three publishers for 2022, but overall, pretty good year for games. I think this year is going to be much better.
Yeah.
So
it was just an average year, I think.
Yeah. But before we jump into our most anticipated of 2023, there's a couple minor news stories I wanted to cover that I think are exciting. Notably, Ubisoft's open world Star Wars game that I think, from what I understand, has been in development for quite a while, has been described as being open galaxy. You can go to all these different planets and land on these planets, very much No Man's Sky-like. You create a character, RPG mechanics, and also a heavy emphasis on story. And essentially what this boiled down to, all these bullet points I read, was exactly what I pitched on our podcast 7 years ago, which I thought was so funny. And that's happened a couple times in our podcast over the years, that it seems like something comes around that we either predicted or dreamed of on the podcast years prior. And when I was sharing this on like Twitter and Instagram and stuff, I went back to that episode. It's called, and I distinctly remember recording it because I remember being excited about the episode. I thought long and hard about what I wanted to pitch before that episode. I remember Zach was on that episode. And so I just distinctly remember that one in particular. It's called Pitch the Next Star Wars Video Game. It's from 7 years ago, literally. So I went back and watched like the first 5 minutes of that, and it was incredibly nostalgic and also kind of sad, because that was back when Preston was on the episodes with us every day or every week, and we were doing it quite literally weekly. Every Sunday or every Monday we'd have a new episode out.
That's
for
wild,
years
man.
We did that. And he also was hosting at the time, and he was really enthusiastic about it as well. All of us were. I mean, it's not like we don't enjoy it now. It's just very different now, obviously, but it was just a different time, and that was incredibly nostalgic, and it was kind of sad at the same time. We were just, man, those were the days when we had significantly less responsibilities, and we all were able to get together weekly and do that. It was a special time.
We live so close. Like, we live really close now, but like it was just so easy just to drive it over to your parents' house and just do videos all the time.
Yeah, I miss those days, man.
I know.
Big time. We could do some sick stuff now, considering what I have at my disposal, but it's just obviously...
Dude, we should just do a Let's Play, just because we can.
Yeah, we could do. I mean, there's obviously a million games coming out this year. Even just for the fun of it, we could just throw a video together.
Let's do something soon. For the Harry Potter game.
Yeah, we absolutely should do that, Jacob. Like, that's just a great idea.
Let's just sit on your couch and just play the game.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. That sounds like a great Let's Play. We'll plan for that for sure. Yeah.
We'll do some like some broomstick riding or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I just thought it was funny that that was announced. And that sounds incredible to me because that's exactly what I wanted 7 years ago. So I very much look forward to hearing more about that in the future.
Yeah.
Aside from that, well, actually, I don't want to move on too quick. Is there anything like you're hoping to see or do you like the sound of that for that game?
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
I mean, that's the thing. You can't make a better Star Wars game than that. That's like what the ultimate Star Wars game has to be, where you're your own character doing your own thing in the universe. You can explore it at will.
I guess it would be cool to sort of like, will there be opportunities to find Jedi or find, you know, the dark side somewhere? Or like how really expansive is this? Like what's going to be the point of the story? Like, why are you exploring all these places? I guess I sort of need to know that. Where I really can make a good judgment on what I would want, you know. I don't know. I'm really open to a lot of different ways to play a game in the Star Wars universe. We're already getting a Jedi experience with Jedi Survivors and Jedi Fallen Order that already came out a couple of years ago, or might have been 3 years ago. So I'm really open to a lot of different things because Star Wars has always been one of those places where you want to know more and more about it because it's just such a cool place. Such a cool place in the movies. A lot of unique and, you know, cool worlds that we would still like to know a lot more about.
Absolutely. Yeah, speaking of Star Wars, I don't want to jump ahead too quick. I was going to talk about this when we talk about Hogwarts Legacy, but I just finished watching the Harry Potter series again. Mm-hmm. And upon finishing that, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm either in a Lord of the Rings mood now or I'm in a Star Wars mood, and specifically the original trilogy of Star Wars films. So I love the prequels, grew up with them. I really don't like the sequel trilogy all in all. It's just not worth watching to me. There's things I like about the sequel trilogy. There's aspects of it, but as a collection, I don't love it as much. So and I feel like I got a lot of prequel energy from the Star or the Obi-Wan show. So I think I'm in the mood for the original Star Wars trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So I might watch those soon. But anyway, moving on. The Last of Us Part 3, to no one's surprise, is seemingly in either pre-production or in the midst of development as we speak. It was supposedly leaked that it is confirmed to be in development, and then Neil Druckmann was confronted about it and said, I think there's more story to tell, which surprises no one. That's exactly how I felt upon completing it for a second time, especially. So that's happening. And on one hand, I think the guys in Sacred Symbol said it best in that if they're going to do a part three, they may as well just go ahead and get it over with, because the multiplayer game is going to come out and that'll tie people over. The show's coming out. And they may as well just finish out the story so they can truly move on to a new IP. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's starved from Sony to do a new IP. I think it'd be great if we briefly talked about this last week. If Guerrilla, all the big hitters, you know, like Guerrilla, Naughty Dog, Insomniac, and Santa Monica could all do new IP in the future. I realize that's a huge financial risk for Sony. They're not nearly as big as Microsoft. They can't be quite as disposable with their studios. So they have to be very careful, but I think Sony Studios have built up a reputation that's strong enough to dive into new worlds and new characters, new stories. So hopefully we see that in the future, but I'm glad part three is coming. Personally, I was hoping for new IP before part three, because I like the idea of, you know, although I'm very glad they remade part one because they look almost identical now, part one and part two, but I was hoping that there would be like a long break before part three so we could see another huge technical leap. I'm sure that obviously that will still be incredible on PS5. It may even be a PS6 game at this point, but I was hoping to have a break, but I look forward to, I'm assuming within 4 to 5 years we'll have part three at this point. That's my prediction. So glad it's coming. Surprised it's coming as soon as it is, but it's happening. That being said, the show is, man, you got dogs barking and I got wild cars in my street. this is all day, man. It's either sirens or cars with huge engines.
This is city life, baby.
Bunch of them. Anyway, the show is airing in a week on HBO, and I am very excited, and I have honestly, I'm confident in having high expectations of it. One, because it just looks great. The trailers have been phenomenal. But also an interview I saw of both the showrunner and Neil Druckmann and a couple of the cast members talking about their experience and their intentions behind it. And Neil Druckmann has confirmed they have no intention of adapting anything in addition to what the games explore. And the few things they have added into the show that were absent from the game are aspects they wanted to have in the games, but either threw off the pacing or didn't make as much sense within a game versus a live action adaptation. So that's very encouraging to me. And my only hope at this point is that Bella Ramsey, who's playing Ellie, has the acting capability to have Ellie's demeanor and performance from part two. Because Ellie is, it's an unbelievable, Ashley Johnson in part two. I mean, she's incredible in part one too, but it's unbelievable what she did in part two. And if Bella Ramsey has that in her, it'll be incredible, because I have high expectations that season one is going to be just one of the best adaptations we've ever seen. So very excited for that. And in a week, we'll get to see it in action for the first time. I think the first episode's just under feature length. So it's like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think it's 83 minutes long. So it's basically a feature film, the first episode.
I'll be watching that Monday night.
Yeah.
Wait, is it tomorrow?
It's Sunday, so it's a week from tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We're recording this on the 7th, so right. A week from Sunday.
Gotcha.
Here's my final prediction for episode one. I think it will end where either Joel meets Ellie, or it'll end where Tess dies.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty
good prediction.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that would be a nice way to sort of like, you know, start the journey. As you say, like, get people comfortable with, you know, his daughter, and then take her away real quick and introduce Ellie before it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like have two concurrent stories happening at the same time between the two, and then like they meet up in the end. I don't know. I'm sure they have a good way of telling it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also excited though. So.
Eric wrote in and asked, what are your expectations for The Last of Us show coming out? My expectations are it's going to be very good. I'm very excited for it.
My expectations is that it's good.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, exactly what they've described sounds great to me. So I'm stoked.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right, hopefully, hopefully we can like record another episode not too long after this one, so we can actually talk about the show.
In a fresh sense. Yeah. Let's talk about what we're most excited for in 2023. We have a huge list here. We're not going to talk about all of them, only the ones that stand out to us. So on this first page, Jacob, beginning with Fire Emblem at the top, which ones are you most excited for? There's only a handful on this list for me.
So I've never played Dead Space. So this little remake here coming out in January is very, very interesting to me.
January 27th.
Yes, sir. I could use a game like that. I haven't played a scary game since Resident Evil Village. And that one wasn't even that scary to me. And I'm a pretty big scaredy cat. So I'm hoping Dead Space just freaks me the hell out. Because I've been kind of craving that kind of experience. So, and you know, it's a very renowned series. So I hope this remake is very faithful to the original.
It looks excellent. I've seen a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Since I'm so familiar with the game, I haven't been reluctant to watch a lot of the behind the scenes stuff breaking down particular moments from the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's most interesting, they've implemented a system. I can't remember what they're calling it, but it adapts to scenarios where if you're backtracking somewhere, because the Ishimura, the ship you're in, is fully explorable. Now you can backtrack at will, whereas before you had to, like, there were like loading screens and stuff and chapters. Mm-hmm. So I think they've made it to where it's almost dynamic, where new enemies will appear where you don't expect them to be. And it adapts to the way you're playing to keep you constantly on edge, which I think is beautiful for a horror game. And from what I remember, the first game is genuinely spooked me when I first played it. But it's been so long and I've played so many horror games since that I wonder if it'll have the same effect on me the second time. But yeah. I'm glad I held off, because I played Dead Space 2 and almost all of 3 earlier in 2022. So I'm ready for Dead Space 1 again. So, and it looks awesome. And the improvements they've made that I've kept up with are really impressive. So also stoked for that.
Yes. So I think
Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah. I think the only other game on here that interests me from, you know, January 20th to March 17th that's coming out is Hogwarts Legacy. And now that I see how quickly it's coming out after Dead Space, I might hold off on Dead Space for a while till like spring or summer.
It is so soon, dude. It's almost a month out. In 3 days, it'll be a month out.
That's insane.
The game we've seemingly been dreaming of for decades.
Yes, nothing is going to stop me.
I can confidently say I've been dreaming of it for decades now. Plural. It's coming. And the last big showcase they did, I actually got to a point where I was skipping through it because I didn't want anything to be spoiled, really. It was showing so many good things. I was like, all right, I don't want to see all of this right now. Mm-hmm. But what I skipped through looked amazing. Looked very, very impressive, both graphically and gameplay. Looked awesome.
Yeah.
And one little aspect I noticed is that in a village in between Hogsmeade and Hogwarts, the character walked up to a little bar and grabbed a butterbeer. I'm like, that's exactly the kind of immersive things I want to do. Even if it gives you like a minor buff or doesn't do anything. It's kind of like what I liked about the immersive aspects of Red Dead 2. I don't need like a core stamina system where it's like, oh, drink coffee and your stamina is improved. I don't necessarily need that. But the immersive aspect of waking up in your camp, pouring a cup of coffee and walking around, drinking it, talking to your students. Exactly. And that those were actually beneficial in Red Dead, whereas they could do something like that in Hogwarts. But just the idea that I know I can do little things within the world, make it more immersive to me. And that's the kind of little things I'm hoping to see a lot of. But
unlike a lot of games, I feel like, especially for fans of Harry Potter, it's very important for the game to like capture just the aura and the sense of being a student with other students in your house and that environment that that you live in, basically. And I'm very excited to see if and how that game does this. And I can't believe it's coming out so soon. I didn't even realize it was February 10th when it was coming out. Is that a Friday? You need to check, actually.
Probably.
I hope so.
My guess would be Friday.
It is. How do I move the calendar on my watch? Okay. I have to use my phone.
I'm going to beat you to it.
No, you're not. It is.
February 10th is a Friday.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm excited.
But I like to think there's a quest. That's like, okay, you need to sneak into this common room or this part of the castle, and you have options. You can either acquire an invisibility cloak and use that and sneak around, or you can brew a polyjuice potion, or you can do it this way or that way. It would be kind of cool, like, to have options for quests.
That would be interesting, yeah.
I could go on a huge laundry list of things I'm hoping to see, but
don't.
We'll know on February 10th.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm so excited for that game. Are you interested in any more of these games?
I think there's potential with Atomic Heart, that Russian developer that's making that game. Looks like a cross between BioShock and a few other games. It looks really cool. I know Mick Gordon's scoring it as well, so we shall see. Horizon Call of the Mountain. I don't think I'm going to pick up PSVR 2 at launch. I think I missed my window to pre-order anyway. I may pick it up later on, but I might do that at some point. Yeah, on that list, though, not much else.
Oh, what about Skull and Bones, man?
Yeah, no thanks. There's no way that game's going to sell well, dude. No. There's zero chance of it selling well.
No, it's doomed.
Yeah, I think Ubisoft knows that, too. March 17th, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. At long last, we're getting the sequel to Fallen Order. Really liked Fallen Order. Reviewed it for COG back in the day. I think I gave it a 9 out of 10. I think I gave it a 9. And I went back and played a little of it in 2022. I think I played maybe a few hours. Started from the beginning, and it's still really solid. And it looks like they've taken a page out of Ghost of Tsushima's book. I was hoping the combat would improve and take inspiration from Tsushima, because I thought the combat of that game was excellent. And it sounds like they do, because you have multiple fighting stances in Survivor to face certain enemies, which I think is pretty cool. So, but the trailer looks awesome graphically. It looks beautiful. Story seems really interesting. Cal Kestis looks like a badass. You have a blaster now that is incorporated in combat. And I think Respawn's an incredible team. So I've nothing but hope and excitement for Jedi Survivor. How are you feeling about it?
I haven't watched any gameplay. I only watched the trailer, but I wonder if the blaster is going to be in any way like Bloodborne was.
I was thinking that.
Are you going to be able to like stun an enemy? and then just
yeah, either that. It looks like you can just draw it at will as well. Yeah. But I was thinking it would potentially play like it does in Bloodborne.
And what if you could just like make a blaster build where that does like most of your damage? That would be interesting. It might not be like, it might be hard to like, you know, craft it a good experience around that, but just the idea of it excites me.
Mm-hmm. I know there's cross-guard lightsabers in this game as well, like Kylo's.
That's cool. That's cool.
I'm not sure how that'll factor into gameplay or story, but they really emphasize that in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a week after that, Resident Evil 4 is coming out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's in my top three, I think, for this year. I am mm-hmm. so excited for that. Looks amazing. Everyone who's played it says it played beautifully. So I have nothing but excitement for Resident Evil 4.
I'm so excited. And I've never played the original. This will be my first step in.
Yeah. I finished it on PS4 the beginning of 2022 and loved it, of course. And I played a little bit of it in VR at Christmas because my sister and her boyfriend got a MetaQuest 2. Ooh. And it came with Resident Evil 4. And that game's awesome in VR as well.
That's cool.
Tears of the Kingdom is the next big one for me, May 12th.
Me too. Yep.
Kind of talked about that at the beginning. There's not much else we can say, but should be awesome.
I think that Tears of the Kingdom and Jedi, or not Jedi, Hogwarts Legacy are probably tied for my most anticipated this year.
Yeah, man, I can't believe how close we are to Hogwarts.
Actually, I take that back. Sorry. So my most anticipated is Diablo 4, which we're not to yet. Then it's a tie with Hogwarts Legacy and Zelda.
Nice. All big ones.
And I say that without even knowing much at all. I mean, no one really knows much about Tears of the Kingdom other than it's a sequel to Breath of the Wild. We've seen like very, very little of anything. So I'm wondering when we're going to get that direct to really dive in and see what's going to be new about this game.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it in March at the latest, but maybe even February.
Yeah.
Because at that point, we'll just be a few months out. So mm-hmm. that would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know like when they typically do it for Zelda.
Yeah. Speaking of, usually I remember for Breath of the Wild, they did a ton of coverage. Remember at E3 and even leading up to and after E3, they had the Treehouse events where they do like extensive demos. So I'm confident we're going to get a lot of gameplay footage here pretty soon.
They also like start talking about it really early, though. I think mm-hmm. it got delayed several times.
Yeah.
Because I think it was originally just going to be on the what was that system called? can't even remember the Wii U.
Oh, Wii U.
Ugh. Yeah. God, thank goodness it wasn't on that thing. I mean, it released on it, right? But it was a Wii game or a Switch game. My brain's malfunctioning tonight.
All good, brother. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League May 26th. I have zero interest right now.
Agreed.
I think Rocksteady's an amazing studio, and they've never mishandled DC properties. And I'm sure whatever it is going to be really cool, but I still don't know what it is. They haven't even described what it is. So
it's hard to be.
We can only
about
guess based on what little gameplay we've seen. So unless they do like a direct style presentation, I'm not going to have any interest until I see something that really interests me from a gameplay perspective. So
there's no shots coming out in May. Like we don't know anything.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Well, you mentioned Diablo 4. I'm also stoked for that.
God, Diablo 4. Every single thing I've heard about it and seen looks absolutely incredible. I cannot wait for Diablo 4. It looks perfect.
It does look like, great. I'm not even kidding. We have to promise each other we're going to play together because I don't want to play. That would suck playing by yourself. I won't say it suck. It just would not be remotely the same playing alone.
Yeah.
So we got to play together like we did with Diablo 3 back in the day.
For sure. I'm going to be on it every night.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I can usually play most nights. If I'm in town, I can usually play at night. So I will gladly play that with you for the first at least month and a half, 2 months, depending on how busy it keeps us, if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally down. I'm definitely playing Rogue. Rogue's going to be my class.
Yeah, I haven't decided yet, but can't wait, man. June 6th. Shortly thereafter, Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, man, Final Fantasy 16.
It looks really good.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, this one interests me a lot more than 15 did. So I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this one a bit more. Just on the setting alone, it looks really cool.
I wonder like how like, how is it going to be controlling a Titan? Because you turn into a Titan, it looks like. So, like, how is that gameplay going to be? Is it just going to be like a, hey, spam X to smash this building? Like, how's it, are you actually going to control the thing? Or, like, I wonder how that's going to actually play out. And, like, how are you going to summon it or turn into it, I guess? The whole idea of that seems cool. And then just the setting, the characters seem cool. I'm completely in.
Yeah, same, dude. I've played very few Final Fantasy games, and people who have listened to this podcast for a long time probably remember me saying how much I did not enjoy. I didn't hate 15. There just wasn't really anything about it that stood out to me. So
yeah. It was just okay.
I'm more excited for 16 for sure.
Yeah. And the guy who helms Final Fantasy 14, the MMO, is helming this game. So
yeah, it's another great
point. It's going to be good. The story in 14 is incredible. Hands. So I imagine the one in 16 is going to be good too.
Definitely. The trailer was awesome. The most recent trailer was so epic.
Oh, yeah. So. I've loved every single trailer that's come out. There's been like four of them.
Oh, yeah. I think the last one on this list for me that I am interested in is Redfall from Arkane.
Me too.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this is the main Arkane team that's working on Redfall. And it's vampires meets some sort of, like, I wouldn't say open world. It looks like an open. It almost looks like Left 4 Dead with vampires. But knowing Arkane, they'll put their own spin onto it to give it a bit more of a unique identity. Yeah. But I've liked every Arkane game I played. I haven't finished Deathloop. I may finish that one day, but I did play a lot of Deathloop. It was different, which I'm glad, but I love Dishonored 1 and 2, and always look forward to seeing what they're going to do as a team. Yeah. I owe it to myself to finish Prey. I tried playing Prey again. I think it was late summer of last year, and I still couldn't get into Prey. But so many people love Prey. So maybe one day, but Redfall looks pretty cool, and excited to play that.
Yes, sir. I have nothing to
add. Next list.
Oh, there's another one. Oh, crap.
Yep. Last list. This is all either windows of time that may come out or to be announced. So there's a chance that some of these may not hit 2023, but most of them are assumed to be landing this year. The next one is Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. It's that team that was originally based in Ukraine before Russia invaded, and they had to relocate, and it's obviously heavily impacted development, which is... horrible even beyond just the game development side, but it seems like they've reached a point where they're able to continue development, and I think they've said recently it's coming this year, but the most recent gameplay trailer they put out looked awesome.
It's crazy. Very much has Metro energy. Get it out.
Yeah. It looks a lot like Metro. I never played Stalker 1. People that have played it have a lot of praise for it, but I think Stalker 2 looks really impressive, so I will definitely check it out. Especially just to support them, like what they've been through as a team is crazy. So... I hope it turns out great for them, and look forward to seeing more.
Mm-hmm. Next, we got Starfield.
Before I continue, I want you to talk about more about on this list what stands out to you.
Okay. So I am going to play Starfield, but I'm probably not as high up on it as a lot of other people are. I just don't know what to think about it yet, right? Because we've only gotten the one trailer, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, we got that one fairly extensive demo from Todd. How am I forgetting his name all of a sudden?
Todd Howard.
That looked okay. There were aspects that looked incredible, and there were also moments that looked kind of buggy and strange. So not to be expected, or not a huge surprise from Bethesda Game Studios, but I'm also a little... weary about it, but
yeah, exactly. That's a good word for it. Weary. Like I want it to be good, but I'm just unsure of how I'm going to sort of enjoy it. If that makes sense, I'm just uncertain.
I will say this: there is yet to be a single main Bethesda Game Studios release. I know they had a hand in 76, but they didn't helm 76. They just kind of oversaw it. So I don't really count that as a main Bethesda Game Studios release. So between Oblivion, Fallout 3, Skyrim, Fallout 4, I've thoroughly enjoyed every single one of those games. Oblivion 2, but Skyrim and Fallout 3 in particular blew my mind when they released. Mm-hmm. And I love Fallout 4. I mean, Preston and I were, I feel like, some of the few people that loved Fallout 4 because we really at the time just wanted more Fallout 3, and that's mostly what it was. With Death Stranding being a new IP... we're not exactly sure how to play out. What they've shown off looks impressive if it functions well. So I'm hoping Starfield blows my mind in the same way that Skyrim initially did and Fallout 3 initially did, where I just get completely enraptured by a Bethesda Game Studio release. Yeah. And I haven't had that in a long time. So I really hope Starfield does that for me.
You know what I was thinking about, like, literally 2 days ago on Thursday? It was that we're going to go more than likely, we're going to go two console cycles without a Elder Scrolls game, a new one. Isn't that weird?
And that's so funny. That's a Microsoft problem, I think, too. And wanting to announce Elder Scrolls 6, however long ago. I think that was 2019, maybe. It was 2018. It was 2018.
No way.
Yeah, because they announced it at the last E3 I went to. Was 2018.
Oh, God.
And I think they said recently that game's still like 5 years away.
Oh, my God. It's like GTA.
Which is so unlike Bethesda Game Studios, because they usually will... I mean, they may tease a game, but they don't really show off a game or announce it until it's like a few months out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little different with Starfield, and I know they delayed it a few times, but man, I'm hoping Starfield releases like early summer at the latest.
Yeah.
I mean, again, neither of us are really anticipating it that much, but I'd like it to come sooner than later, personally.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple more on here that I'd like to sort of mention that I'm highly anticipating. One is, believe it or not, it's an Assassin's Creed game. It's Mirage. I think Mirage kind of looks cool. You know, we haven't really seen much. But I don't know. I'm in like a weird state where I want an Ubisoft game to be good. Like, it's been such a long time since I've had a desire to really want to play an Ubisoft game. And I'd like Assassin's Creed Mirage to just be really good and just... They need to stop making these big expansive games. Like, cut it down quite a bit, make a good little experience, even if it's completely linear. Like, I just want something that's like, I want to be an assassin. I want it to be fun. I want to do cool things as like a ninja. Like, give me an assassin game. Like, I don't feel like it should be that hard, but they keep going off on all these, you know, little routes of, oh, we're going to be, you know, fucking Vikings. And this one, we're going to be pirates, which I love the pirate one, by the way. Like, if they could just make a good pirate game, but clearly they botched that too. So, I don't know. I just want Ubisoft to make games that I care about again. It's just been a long time. That's what I'm hoping for with that game.
And then, that's another challenging situation, because from a business standpoint, the last few Assassin's Creed games have sold incredibly well. I think Valhalla was the highest selling Assassin's Creed game of all time.
Which is just insane to me.
Yeah, and they've stated this. They're going to continue making games like that, but I think Mirage is intended to be a test run to see how many people are interested in a more traditional Assassin's Creed experience.
Yeah.
And my only hope for Mirage is that, of course, it plays more closely to the original trilogy of games, but... also, of course, has all those next-gen bells and whistles in terms of production value, and also has taken a page out of a few stealth action games from the last decade that have been really successful. Dishonored, notably, would be a big one for me. Just having options for assassinating your targets. I know it's confined to one city, so I like to think that each target is a big deal that you're really having to like strategize for. To bring down in your own way with like multiple options. And I hope the combat is also similar to like the counterattack system and dodging and stuff. And is less like the more RPG focused combat of like hotkeys and stuff. I don't want any of that Mirage. I'd rather a few more closely to the Arkham games and the original games. So you have like a variety of weapons and you're simply just attacking and counterattacking.
Yeah.
Could be cool.
Like, I don't even mind if they do, like, the whole gearing thing like they do in, like, the newer ones. But just don't make it too complex. Like, don't make it God of War Ragnarok. Like, don't add just a bunch of random trinkets and bobs and whistles. Like, just add, you know, do, like, the robe, some fucking boots, some gloves, like, your weapons, and just, you know, call it quits there, maybe. I don't know.
I thought it was solid in Assassin's Creed 2 and 3 where you could upgrade your armor. There were just levels of armor you were upgrading. It was pretty simple.
Okay.
And you could also change the colors of your robe and whatever, your cloak or whatever you wear.
Yeah.
So even the simplicity of that is good enough for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see more of that because it sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely want to see some gameplay. And then obviously the one that really stands out on this list for me is Spider-Man 2, if it does come out this year. God, I just thinking about the possibilities of that game is just, it gets me so excited. Having two Spider-Mans, like, that would be so freaking cool. Just what the storytelling they could do, the merging of somehow, like, merging two Spider-Mans into a gameplay loop. Like, the idea of just thinking about that is pretty exciting to me. I see, like, scenarios where you're playing as Peter and then other scenarios where you're playing as Miles. And, you know, maybe they're both doing something really important and you jump, you know, you do little time skips and like things that are happening at the same time. And you kind of see a mission play out from different points of view and you see them come together at the end for like a big boss fight or something. Or maybe you can like, maybe when they do converge at certain points, you can choose to play either one and you can customize their talent trees maybe in certain ways and they can do different things. I think a lot of stuff like that could really make this game incredible. What do you think?
Yeah, in terms of expectations for games this year, there's no studio I have more confidence in than Insomniac because they nail every single thing they do. I think they are currently the most impressive studio that Sony has because of the not only the quality of their work, but the variety and the frequency of their work is fascinating. So I have all the confidence in the world that Marvel Spider-Man 2 is not only going to be a great game, I think it's going to be an unbelievable masterpiece because not only do they nail PS4 Spider-Man, but also the PS5. It wasn't a full remake, but the upgrades they made to that were phenomenal. And then Miles Morales, I think from a gameplay standpoint, destroys Spider-Man on PS5 and PS4.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just, it's like the improvements they made the combat and also the fluidity of the web swinging and the combat and the animation, which is next level compared to Spider-Man on PS4. Mm-hmm. And that experience showed me that this is nothing compared to what they're going to do with the sequel. It's going to make Miles Morales and Spider-Man on PS4, PS5 look like child's play in comparison. I have no doubt in my mind that they figured it out by the time they wrapped and shipped Miles Morales, they figured out what they need to do to make a just mind-blowing Spider-Man experience with the sequel. So from a gameplay standpoint, I think the web swinging is going to blow our minds because I think they're going to make improvements and changes that make it even more interesting and fun. I also expect them to take their New York City and increase the scale and even redesign it a little bit. And I don't think that's going to matter much.
Cool.
So gameplay, I could go on a huge tangent, which I won't do, but gameplay is going to blow our minds and animation especially is going to blow our minds. Mm-hmm. And like you said, with the story, currently my prediction is that obviously Venom's in the game. I think the symbiote will wind up on Peter and Miles Morales has to end up fighting. They have to fight each other at some point is my prediction for this game. But I also think, like you said, I don't know if it'll be a co-op experience, but I do think those characters will be in combat and doing stuff in the game together quite often. And I also like the idea of, like you said, going back and forth, almost like Last of Us Part 2 style, where you're seeing two different perspectives of a story and upgrading both characters would be kind of cool. Because obviously Miles' powers are a little bit different from Peter's. So, so much potential with the story, which I'm also confident they're going to nail. And gameplay, especially, is going to be astounding. And we're bound to see this in action very soon. I think within Q1 of this year, by April, we'll have seen something significant for this game.
I think that's a pretty good prediction.
So
I hope they don't do the whole God of War thing with Ragnarok where they give Atreus his moments in the game, but I don't feel like they did enough for Atreus. And I hope they don't do that with like Miles, for example.
I don't think they will, because I think Miles Morales is more fun to play as than Peter Parker was in his own game.
But that could change, of course.
Yeah, I think both of them will be excellent. And I think Insomniac just knows that. Their leadership at that studio is just next level. They just get what they're doing and what they're handling. So it's going to be awesome. Like, I have zero concerns about Spider-Man 2. Zero.
So since we're doing like little predictions, do you think there's any chance that like Miles becomes center stage after this game and like Peter sort of sunset or maybe possibly even dies for some reason? Like, do you think they would do that?
I would actually be down for that. I'm going to be honest. Because think about this. We have the ultimate Spider-Man Peter Parker video game with Spider-Man 1. We're going to get plenty of them in the sequel. And I like to think this is his last wing of mentoring Miles Morales, and Peter either sacrifices himself, dies in battle, or maybe even just like gets injured to a point where he can't be Spider-Man anymore.
Yeah.
I'd be totally fine if the third game in this, if we're assuming there would be a third game, that Miles Morales is center stage, but and it would be like the perfect bridge. Like, think of the chapters, like Peter Parker, Miles Morales, and then Miles Morales as the third chapter. But I mean, technically Miles has his own game. It's a much shorter game, but it is a phenomenal game with what it is. Did you ever finish Miles Morales?
Oh yeah. I think I was one trophy off from platinuming, but yeah.
Yeah. Loved Miles Morales. I still jump into Miles Morales to web swing. If I have like 20 minutes to kill before I need to leave somewhere, if I'm like letting a video export at home and I have 20 minutes to kill, I'll jump into New York and swing around as Miles for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was the very first game I played on my PS5. And it same. Was awesome.
Yeah, dude. Man, I'm so stoked for Spider-Man. I think my top three, I'll nail it down now, are Spider-Man, Resident Evil, and Tears of the Kingdom.
That's pretty good. So mine's Diablo 4, Hogwarts Legacy, and then Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm not saying Hogwarts Legacy. One thing I wanted to reiterate before we wrap up is upon finishing the Harry Potter series again, I know you and I watch it every year, but this is one of those years, man, where I just at the end of it, I was like, man, this really is such a captivating story. It's so good. And my new favorite movie is Half-Blood Prince. It used to be Prisoner of Azkaban. Still adore Prisoner of Azkaban, mainly because of the director and his creative choices. But Half-Blood Prince is just excellent, dude. Just the way it's shot, the way it's color graded, the sense of humor that's woven throughout the script. It's also just a really interesting story to me with Snape. It's when you first find out, or you assume, especially when reading the book for the first time, like, man, Snape has been an asshole this whole time. We knew it. Mm-hmm. But then you obviously get that turnaround in Deathly Hallows. He's been a double agent and sacrificed so much his whole life. It's just so heart-wrenching. But
yeah,
really love Half-Blood Prince. That being said, I was really paying attention to the combat in all these movies. And just some of these wand battles in especially 5 through 7 are just so intense and brutal, especially Deathly Hallows. One of the coolest scenes in Deathly Hallows Part 1 is when they apparate to that diner and they're like, all right, obviously the Death Eaters are after, so we got to do something. Those guys show up in the diner and they shoot spells at each other. And it looks like guys getting hit with shotgun blast and like getting thrown back against walls. It just looks really intense.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hope the combat in Hogwarts Legacy has that feeling to it, because the movies like really made it cool in the latter half of the series.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing I was thinking about for Hogwarts. Like, man, everything they've shown off looks cool. And from a distance, without playing it, it seems like combat's been really thoughtfully and carefully designed. I just hope that the spells have a lot of that intensity with, like, firing off brutal ones like that.
Yeah, I think they will. Sorry, one more thing. Like, when you told me that at dinner the other night when we had pizza, like, the Half-Blood Prince was your, like, new favorite movie, I was like, that's insane. Like, I never thought that I would hear that from someone. Because, like, I love Half-Blood Prince myself. Like, I've always been someone that has always, I think, liked that movie more than most people. I know especially when it came out, it was, a lot of people were kind of disappointed in it because I feel like it was very rushed. Like, and they always said, like, the book's so much better. Like, this movie's just so disappointing in a lot of ways. But I was always a huge fan of it. So to hear that you also really like it now is, you know, not that you didn't like it before, but you like it more now. It's a cool thing to hear. But I agree. Like, Prisoner of Azkaban's always been really good. I think 6 is really good, and obviously both 7s are really, really good. And I'm a big fan of 5 too. Pretty much anything. I mean, they're all so good. It's hard to like just sit here and say like, oh, this one's better than the other, because it's hard to appreciate.
There's so much
one
to love about all of them.
Yeah. So I need to watch through them again myself. I watched through 3 and 4 over Christmas, but I just need to go through them again.
Man, I was really sad. Yeah. I'm like, that's perfect time for, because I'm like really in the mood now. I was so sad finishing the series again. It's like, man, it's like you spend so much time with these characters and these stories in this world. It's kind of sad to say goodbye to it. And then I'm like, well, right around the corner, we get to have our own story in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. But yeah, there's many more games coming this year, a lot that we skipped over on this big list that IGN provided. But if you're watching on YouTube and there's anything coming out that you're excited for, please let us know, because there's plenty more to talk about. And we'd love to hear from you. That being said, Jacob, let's jump into Ask IOG. Uh, Ask OG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media at It's Obvious Gaming, the Ask OG section of our Discord channel, or email to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com, and always include the hashtag AskIOG if you want your question read live on the show. And the one and only question this week, Jacob, comes from Carlos Perez. What the F is up, Denny's? Eogs, boys and girls. Eog, Eog. Happy New Year's. Hope you guys had a great year and even better one this time coming. To get a bit personal, what is one thing you guys appreciate of one another? We all appreciate Jacob's body and boyish charm, Garrett's luscious hair and Preston's shiny head, but something not so obvious. Something we appreciate about each other. I could think of a few things that I appreciate about you, Jacob.
Okay. We're waiting.
Well, we're waiting. Dude, I just realized I got to be somewhere, dude. Let's wrap this up.
Oh, really quick. Next time.
Actually, dude, I just remember I can't record for another like 6 years. So it was fun while it lasted.
Okay, man. See ya.
I would say generally I've always appreciated your friendship because we've known of each other since technically sixth grade, especially eighth grade is when I was like, that's Jacob Alka. So in eighth grade is when I like really knew who you were. But we weren't really friends until like sophomore year of high school is when our journey with all of our closest friends began. Just always been able to hang, enjoy good times. And obviously we share a lot of common interests. So whether we're hanging to go to a movie or go to a show or playing games and all the years we've spent podcasting and video gaming together, it's been a great pleasure. And time well spent and time I'll never regret because I have countless memories with you. And yes, indeed. Obviously Preston's been a big part of this podcast, but you and I have really done a lot over the last several years, just the two of us.
Yeah. And we've sacrificed a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. And we invested that time together because we genuinely loved and enjoyed it. And I don't regret any of it. And we have years of memories documented on the internet to look back on if we ever felt like it. I especially think of our families, too. If we ever, God forbid, die in a tragic accident, like all of this is on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. So it's like an archive of memories our families would have is what I thought about between the podcast and all the stupid videos.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about things that they probably don't care about, but they can at least hear us.
Another thing I appreciate is I know we were joking at the beginning, we haven't worked out together in a decade, but in all the years I've known you've obviously been very passionate and focused on exercise, and the results speak for themselves. And when I initially took interest in exercising, you didn't shame me or make fun of me, or very much took me under your wing and helped train me and give me a better understanding of diet and exercise, not only the importance of it, but how to practically apply that and stick with it. And that's affected me to this day. And that began back in 2013. So I greatly appreciate that as well.
Thanks,
man. Here's another thing I thought about. I tell people this all the time when I talk about you. When you have a responsibility or a job, you stick to it very loyally. Like every job you've ever had, you've stuck with for a long time, which is pretty rare for people. I can't even say that for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very admirable quality in someone that's like, here's my responsibility. Here's my job. Like, I'm not going to fail you and I will stick with it for as long as I need to is very admirable and impressive.
Yeah. You're not the first person to say that. So sometimes it's nice to hear. To be reaffirmed of that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the only job that I think you're still technically employed at, they just haven't called you in many, many years, is Lids at the Dawsonville Outlet Malls. Zach and I every year on Black Friday still joke about that. Like, you think Lids is going to call up Jacob and ask him to work Black Friday this year?
I cannot believe they just didn't talk to me ever again.
Yeah, they hired you and you worked one Black Friday and that was it, right?
Yeah. It was terrible too. Like
they probably realized like, this job's so easy. No, we don't really need to be here. We'll hire someone just to be here so we don't have to for one night.
Yeah. No, dude, there was literally like 12 employees in that store. Like, it was packed. It was terrible. And you know how small their stores are.
Man, what do you need 12 employees for in Lids?
I didn't do anything all night.
People pick out a hat that fits, if they like it, they buy it. And it's like, what are you doing other than just making the register work?
Like, I didn't restock hats. Like, all I did was just walk around and talk to people about hats.
That's like what I did at American Eagle for 3 months. They hired me for the Black Friday season as well, and that was it.
Yeah. I hate retail so much. I'm so glad I don't have to work in retail. It is terrible.
I got my fill, dude. Between GameStop and American Eagle for those like 4 months, I did that. And I was like, I never want to do this again.
Like, there's nothing worse than like having to do a job that where people don't appreciate you or don't even want your help. Like,
yeah.
Like they just want you to leave them alone. But that's the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. So,
yeah. Like, I'm glad we have a few good memories of GameStop together. We got to work a few shifts together. Yeah. Didn't we like try to pretend like we weren't close friends when you got hired so we would get scheduled more?
Yeah.
I think we were like, okay, we can't flirt too much here because they're going to catch wind that we're like pals and they're not going to schedule us together anymore.
Yeah. I think you're actually the reason I got a job or something. I don't know.
I can't remember.
Because I think you worked there before me.
Yeah. Just shortly before. I was only there for a few months, but. I remember my most distinct memory at that GameStop was you was when the Force Awakens trailer dropped, the teaser trailer with the Millennium Falcon.
Yep.
And it shows Kylo's lightsaber in the snowy forest for the first time. Blew our minds, dude.
We were like, what?
It was you and me and a couple other employees. It was like an early morning at GameStop on like a Saturday or something. And never forget it.
And there was no one in the store. It was just us geeking out.
Yeah.
It was great.
Good times.
Oh, man. you want me to go or are you going to do Preston? Do we want to do Preston? He's not here. So
I could say a lot about Preston, but he's not here. I'll tell him to his face when I see him again.
Yeah. Okay.
Preston's my oldest friend, though. I've known Preston the longest.
True. True. So what I appreciate most about you, my fellow co-host, Garrett Drake, is first and foremost is also your friendship. You've been a very, very loyal friend over all these years, no matter how, you know, through periods of our life, how little we've talked sometimes or how little we've hung out or, you know, how little like sometimes our interests grow apart. I mean, we share, you know, our love of movies and video games together. But, you know, we've very much gone in our separate ways in terms of other things. But, you know, you're always someone I can like, you know, text or send a meme to or call and just talk sometimes. And you've always been that guy. And I've noticed that you've been that guy for a lot of different people in your life. So I think that's a very admirable thing that you are good at doing is just being a good friend. So, and another thing is I admire your dedication to this channel and this podcast. You have put so much work into not only just making sure, you know, audio is good and that the editing goes smoothly. Like sometimes there's some mishaps and stuff happens. Sometimes one of our episodes gets corrupted and it doesn't release, but just the consistency and the hard work that you've put in over all the years has been, I mean, everyone that listens definitely is appreciative, I'm sure. And me as someone that's, you know, talked alongside you on this podcast for, what has it been, 7 years almost?
It'll be 8 years on February 23rd.
Yeah, almost 8 years. It's been... You know, it's been incredible to be a part of, to be honest. And I'm very, you know, humbled that I was able to, or that I still am able to be a part of it.
Well, I appreciate that, Jacob. That's very kind.
Yes.
And likewise, I feel all the same. So it's been a great honor and privilege, and I look forward to, Lord willing, spending many more years of our lives as friends.
For sure. There might come a time where, you know, we don't live close anymore, and that'll be a sad time, but. While we still are close, I think we should, you know, do everything
absolutely
in our
take
power
advantage
to,
of it.
Exactly.
Mike, the other night when we went and got pizza with Elliot, pizza and beer, and it was awesome. A great night.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I ate that pizza like the next day. It was still just as good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Put it in the oven.
Really good. I might get a pizza from there tonight. I'm still debating.
Ooh.
We'll see.
I'm also proud of you for really making some fitness jumps this year. Like I'm really starting to notice, like, you know, you're looking a lot more fit, and I'm proud of you.
I'm glad you're proud of me, Jake, because you're the one who got me started on that. So I didn't really start taking it seriously till late 2019, but you definitely embedded a lot of very important knowledge into my brain when it comes to that kind of thing. So a lot of that is attested to your guidance. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many benefits to working out, but it's if you can just make it a part of your daily life. Like it becomes so easy. Like you don't have to think about it. Like you just do it and then it's done.
Yeah.
And you move on with your day.
Absolutely.
Like people always make it such a, you know, a big thing where, oh, I don't want to go to the gym because I'm nervous. Like just go in, do your thing. You don't care what anyone else thinks about you. If they make a weird face at you, just ignore them. Like who cares? Just do your thing. Have a goal in mind when you walk in. Like, even if you're just, like, going to the gym for the first time, just, like, go in and, you know, take a lap around the gym. Like, just get comfortable with being there. Like jump on the treadmill for like 5 minutes and walk out. Come back the next day, walk for 10 minutes. Like it's just about making like small improvements and getting comfortable with the environment. And then, you know, making just small little improvements every day. That's all it is.
Definitely. Well said. Well, Jacob, that was a rather sentimental way to close out the episode. This was 278 of the It's Obvious podcast. Really grateful that we can continue to do this sporadically, but still doing it nonetheless, nearly 8 years later. And there are so many fun games to play this year that we will inevitably talk about more when the time comes. And yeah, in the immediate future, there's a lot of cool stuff. So we can't wait to hear from you guys. Hopefully someone wants to talk to us, whether it be on Discord, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube comments. We are out there, and one of us always responds to most things. And we've never had a gigantic influx of comments, so we're always able to respond in a timely fashion and in a way that's more personal than just like, thanks, and like your comment. We will genuinely have a conversation with you on these platforms. So we still encourage you guys listening out there to comment or send us messages, emails, whatever it may be, whether it's an Ask IOG question or topic or idea for what we're doing, or even just your thoughts and games you're playing. We'd love to hear from you. So as always, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Yes. One final thing before we go, I would love to hear. So we mentioned all the games that we sort of are really excited for this year. You know, if you're on Discord, ping either one of us or both of us. If you're on Twitter, at us, let us know what you are excited to play this year. And let's just chat about it. And I can tell you about how wrong you are for being excited about Starfield, for example.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that, Jacob.
Of course. Garrett, I hope you have a nice week, and I hope to see you soon. Let's grab dinner sometime soon.
Sounds good, brother. Same to you. Goodbye.